Okay. Let's get ready here for the study tonight. I'll just talk real low. Those of you that might be listening on the internet, we have so many people here. We're in a packed room. We have only a few places to put a few chairs. We have a stand-up crowd or room back there, the hall. And to put it in perspective, we're just in a smaller room. We can make it sound one way. Okay. It's a deal like this. We do need my sound system where it sounds like we're in a cathedral.
Yeah.
And I have a unit that I bought years and years ago. It has 16 different settings of different places. It has, like, it has a stadium. It has a upper loft. It has a bar room. It has cathedrals, churches. It has just a whole gamut of sounds. And a couple of them, boy, you just think you are in a big cathedral. And Jim, when he came over and we were listening to music, he said, you know, we ought to have put that with our tapes. And I said, that'd be really good, except somebody comes to visit, they're going to be really shocked. They're looking for this big mammoth building. There's just an A-frame church building. So, well, I hope you all had a really nice Christmas. And living now in that sort of no man's land between Christmas and New Year's. And then start January 1, the IRS starts all over. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves as to our study, that God the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear in the passage that we have before us. Revelation 12, as I said, I've never looked at it from this standpoint. It's very interesting to study it just from this view. I've always studied it, heard it taught as part of eschatology, as part of the tribulation and what was going to happen, and study the dragon. But saturated all through this is, Tony, thank you very much. Scattered all through this, as we've seen, is about his birth. And so let's let the Holy Spirit take us on this journey. Let's pray. Wise men celebrated his birth. Kings wanted to murder him. Jews were in fear. Angels sang. Angels plotted against it. It's amazing, all the forces coming together to prevent this birth, prevent this woman from giving birth, and has been attacking this child since Satan was not able to prevent his birth, not able to kill him at birth, than to do all that he could against him throughout history right up to the day that we live. We see here a demonstration not only of your love in God becoming man, but we see a demonstration of your power. That all these forces cannot prevent what you want done. So we're learning a lot about you as we study the Christmas story. Father, we pray that tonight your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you'd have us to see tonight. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Saturday evening is New Year's Eve, and we're going to meet at 7 o'clock, and Wes and Sharon have been so gracious to invite us and let us use their home. In respect, Tish said we could come out there, but that's kind of a long way to commute. And I said, the only way you're going to do that out there is to have everybody just spend the night, because they're driving back in late at night. And Don Becker, who listens to us through via the internet in Missouri, he said we could use his place. He has plenty of room. And I said, that really is a long way to commute, and you really would have to provide us all a place to stay. And he was nice. We had a good time talking. And He's going to miss West Plain before service tonight and tomorrow night, but we all have to improvise here and adjust. So let's continue right in, because I got a lot I want to cover tonight and tomorrow night and in this series. Begin something new just for an hour or two on Saturday night, kind of introducing ourselves into Romans and setting up a challenge for the year of 06. And Jim, that just seems so long ago, far away from when we were born way back then, and that's 06. Aught 10, as the great Gildersleeve used to call it. When aught 10 comes, I'm really going to be scared then, man. That's going to be something. Okay. What we're seeing here is grasping an understanding of the history of Israel. It's a unique history of suffering and pain. And we're seeing why, getting another scope of why it is a history of suffering and pain. Let's just begin reading verse 1 and bring ourselves to where we are in our study. Verse 1, and a great sign. This is a great in magnitude and importance. Appeared in heaven. What happens on earth is affected by what happens in heaven. And every now and then that seems to come back, the Holy Spirit letting us be reminded of that. There are no accidents. Things that happen in your life, in my life, in our lives, is first of all affected by something going on in heaven. I think all of us would agree that all suffering, all things that occur in our life, you can say, well, they made bad decisions, good decisions, and this, that, association, war, disease. It's all related to a spiritual issue. And it's the wise person that can see that. Whether we understand everything working, maybe not. But we all know it's a spiritual thing going on down here. It's the whole reason we're here. So a great sign appeared in heaven. What's going on in heaven affects what's going on earth. A woman. We saw this was the nation Israel, the race of the Jews. not Mary specifically. She will symbolize the nation. But it's the nation. Clothed, and how do we know that? Well, look at the next thing. Clothed with the sun, Jacob, and the moon, Rachel. So we know who the woman is. It's not Mary. It's a nation of Israel. Under her feet, Israel's, and on her head, a crown of 12 stars. This is 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Now, for the pain of this woman throughout her history, leading right up to Christmas. Take a look now. And she was with child, pregnant. And we have seen Israel, the history of Israel is a history of a nation that has been pregnant. Israel has been pregnant for 2,000 years up to the birth. We talk about the 2,000 years from the birth, but up to the birth, that's the reason I say 2,000, Abraham circa 2,000 B.C., don't know exactly when, but somewhere circa 2000 B.C. So for 2,000 years, this woman has been in the making of being pregnant, becoming impregnated and being pregnant. And so this is what we have happening. So 2,000 years. Now, if you understand that, it describes her condition for 2,000 years. She's been pregnant for 2,000 years. I cannot personally in any way identify with that. I can do it academically in my mind, being around ladies who were pregnant, but even more so being around men who are married to women who are pregnant. I've picked up a great deal. And pickles at 2 in the morning and ice cream and all these kinds of things and crying for no reason and for every reason. And as I'm going to use it here humorously, men don't know what to do sometimes. And I want to use that here in a few minutes. Okay, she was pregnant, and she cried out, being in labor and in the pain to give birth. As we have seen, God the Holy Spirit is using the analogy of pregnancy. This is an analogy of pregnancy to describe the whole history of Israel for 2,000 years. Describes her as the condition of Israel. And I'm going to show you how it describes Jews right up to this very day. You want to understand Jews? before the crawl, before the birth, and throughout the history of the church? You can do it by understanding the pregnancy principle. You can understand their history even more than they themselves. Let's take it a few things. And she cried out. We have the present active indicative. She kept on crying. It's been going on for almost 2,000 years now. She kept on crying. Crazo. Looks like this. I'm putting it on the board. Well, I'm not putting it on the board. Not with that one. And let's try another one. Pass me up a couple of them in case one doesn't work. Here we go. Here we go. I don't think yellow will show up. Let's see. This blue might. All right. Whoop. Whoa. Man, we're in a small room and we're tearing it up. Okay. Okay, here's Krausel. This ought to work. Yes. And this is K-R-A-Z long O. Let me tell you the first word in a lexicon I looked at in dealing with this word, to scream. Not just to cry, but to scream. It means to call out. There's a hurt. There's a pain. To call out loudly. This is a horrible scream, people, and it's been going on for 2,000 years up to the birth. The scream. And as a man shudders when he hears this scream from a pregnant woman, most men just really don't know what to do about it. And neither does the world know what to do about the crying of Israel for 2,000 years before the cross and for all church age. The world does not know what to do with this woman. How does history react to the screaming of Israel? Let me tell you in a humorous way how they act. History acts just like most men do at the crying or screaming of a pregnant woman. Many just want to get away. Just get out of here. Some want to help. Not really sure what to do, but they want to help. And others shudder up. Just shut up. Not going to run. Not going to empathize. Just shut up. That's what we have going on here. We have the world telling this woman, the angelic forces, the forces of the red of the dragon, to shut up. This describes her history. Being in labor. And then we have labor or travailing in birth. The word is odino. And this describes all the history of Israel. Not just in the time of Christmas. Not just in the time of the birth of Jesus. But to experience great pain. To travail in childbirth. That's Israel. Want to understand Israel? They're in travail. And it is difficult to understand a woman who's pregnant, especially as she gets closer and closer to the travailing in the childbirth. And then it says, note the words being used, cried out, travailing. And then we have a third word, as if those weren't enough, and in pain, to give birth. Anytime a woman, I thought about this, said, boy, this would be great if I did counseling to young girls. You think you want to have a child? Let's look at these words that go with it. Crying, screaming, pain or travailing. And then we have the word pain to give birth. Pain to give birth is a pain wanting to get this done, get this fetus born. Present passive. Passive voice is interesting here. Travailing was active voice. In pain is a passive voice. What does that mean? The word means to receive this pain in the giving of the birth. To be in pain. Let me tell you another word used in the lexicon for this. Torture. Torture. Describes the history of Israel. Torture. Toil, torment in giving birth. So again, we see that God, what I want to do tonight for a few moments is to see that God throughout the Bible has used this whole pregnant concept, this whole pregnant, I'm going to call it an analogy here, this pregnant analogy to get a glimpse of understanding the history of Israel, understanding the Jew. A lot of times people have a lot of problems in dealing with the Jew. I want you to start grasping their whole mindset, even though they may not even know what's going on. So let's go on a little Bible fun here tonight. Let's start off in Genesis 3. Let's start off in Genesis 3. I remember in college, I took a class, and part of the class was that we had to watch a film of a birth. I did not want to do that. It was not something that was exploratory to me. I just did not want to. And but what was interesting was several guys fainted. We were in college, and they just fainted right there in class. And I had more fun watching them and took my eye off of what was going on up there to watch them and try to help them. And but all ladies know men are wimps. And that's why God let women be the ones to give childbirth. Men couldn't handle it. And we hurt our finger, and we want to go to the hospital. And as a matter of fact, I'll put it another way: men don't even want to go to the hospital. They don't want to have to deal with their this. Don't do anything about it. Okay, Genesis 3 verse 16 starts off our understanding of the pain of the history of Israel, understanding the Jew. Let's just read it together. This is in right after the fall of Adam and Eve, and God is coming through announcing the repercussions of the fall. Some people call them curses, but let's take a look. To the woman. This would be Eve. But we see Eve here, Eve, and not only Eve, the woman, but all women, and not only all women, but Israel. Okay. To the woman, he said, this is God, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. Now, if I were a woman, and I believed the Bible, that would scare me. Boy, I'm not only going to give you pain, I'm not only going to multiply your pain, I am going to greatly multiply your pain. Now, today, we have a lot of cop-outs. I understand they can take drugs, and they can kind of deaden the lower half of their body, and they can do all kinds of things today. But here we have the idea, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. So we're seeing not only woman, not only women through history, but Israel, at the time of its birth and through its history for Israel, in pain, you shall bring forth children. Now, just finishing the verse, yet your desire shall be for your husband. That's very important in here. But the word for pain here, the Hebrew word, greatly multiplied pain. Then we have, note the two words here. We have two different words here. The second word used in this passage, isn't it interesting, in the Revelation 12, two or three different words. Here we have two or three different words. So this has got to be something frightening. This has got to be something frightening. Now, man's curse is that he's got to go out and work from morning till evening. And that's part of a whole cosmic system. Some people try to get around that, but that's the basic idea. But the woman greatly multiplied the pain. And then he says another word for pain, which means to labor, to be in sorrow. Let's look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. (Clears throat) And here we're going to look at verse 17. Isaiah 26:17. Now here again you're going to see it used as an analogy to convey a thought. As the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she wreathes and cries out in her labor pains. Now, a woman will read this and have one response. But most men who read this, even the power of the Spirit, we shudder. Oh, I don't want that kind of pain, God. You know, let me work out in the field. But she wreathes and cries out. There's our word scream. Screams out in her labor pain. So look at all her words here in this one thing. Wreathe, screaming, in labor pains. So this describes Israel and all the work that Satan is doing to come against us. We're going to see why, where it's coming from. But this is understanding the history of Israel. This is what Israel's been going through. Let's go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah. I'm just picking out a few, not all of them by any means. But it's sprinkled all through the Bible, this analogy of the pregnancy, understanding Israel, understanding the first Christmas morning. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. And what we want to look at is verse 24. Jeremiah 6, verse 24. We have heard the report of it. Our hands are limp. Anguish has seized us. Pain as of a woman in childbirth. This is an analogy to describe the horror of a condition. And the analogy is a woman about to give birth or in pregnancy. This is, again, the history of Israel. These are the way that Israel goes through. This is the way you want to understand Jews. Anguish. Pain. As a woman giving birth to a child. Look at Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah is filled with these because he's dealing with the pain of Israel. Jeremiah 13, verse 21. Jeremiah 13, 21. What will you say when he appears over you? Now this is the enemy coming from the north. Verse 20, lift up your eyes and see those coming from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you? Your beautiful sheep. Where are your beautiful sheep? What will you say when he approaches over you? When he appoints over you? And you yourself had taught them, former companions, to be the head over you. Will not the pangs take hold of you like a woman in childbirth? Again, the history of Israel, history of a Jew, understanding a Jew in the respect of this type of history. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22, and we want to look at verse 23. Chapter 22, verse 23. You who dwell in Lebanon, nestled in the cedars, how you will groan. Now we have a groan, not a screaming here, but a groan when pains come upon you. Pain, two different words, pain like a woman in childbirth. This is the history of Israel in giving birth to the God-man. Chapter 49. Like Satan is doing so much to stop this, we've got to understand the uniqueness of this man, Jesus Christ. 49:24. Chapter 49, verse 24. Damascus has become helpless. She has turned away to flee. Now we got some new things about it. And panic has gripped her. Distress and pains have taken hold of her like a woman in childbirth. just so close to the childbirth, and distress and the pains take hold of her at this time. Let's look at chapter 50, verse 43. Chapter 50. Okay, verse 43. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them. Now, the king of Babylon is one of the tools used by Satan, the red dragon. Babylon is, and Babylon will be reappearing in Revelation in a great role. And his hands hang limp. Distress has gripped him. Agony, agony. Like a woman in childbirth. I started to make a whole list of all the words, put the Hebrew on the board, but I think we're getting the ideal of understanding them. One more. Micah. One more. Let's look at Micah to the end of the Old Testament. Let's look at Micah, and this is just our last one, and dealing with a description. Excuse me. Getting much better than I did Sunday, but still it's lingering. Okay, Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Micah 4, 9 and 10. Now, why do you cry out loudly? Who's he talking to? Look at the end of verse 8. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So this is Israel, the nation of Israel. Why do you cry out loudly? Cry out, scream out, help, relief. The pain is so great. Is there no king among you to come and give you aid? Or has your counselor perished? That agony has gripped you like a woman in childbirth. Wreathe and labor in giving birth. Daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. For now, you will go out of the city, dwell in the fields, and then he goes on and describes. What I want us to see is this description. Let's go back to Revelation 12 now. To see this description of this woman, you should start grasping the history of Israel and the understanding of a Jew. How can we say this helps to understand a Jew? Let me explain how. Think about it. When a people, a race, a whole race of people, have known virtually nothing but shared pain, shared prejudice against them, racial prejudice against them, suffering against them, throughout their whole history, from the beginning to right up to this very day. That's what the Jews know. Unlike any other people. Now, various type of people like to cry. Some of the blacks like to cry. Some various people that are Mexican like to cry. No nation, no race of people have suffered like the Jews throughout all their history. Now, 4,000 years. This starts to sink into your thinking. It starts forming a personality. I often will talk to people, or have in the past, and I don't understand, and I don't, unless I look at it spiritually, and look at it, what happened. But how could the Jews just walk into the gas chambers and just get on those trains? I mean, I charged the guy with the machine gun. I would lead a riot. It's all, it's everybody. But you see, I'm strong. I'm healthy. I have a vitality of life. It hasn't been sucked out of me yet. You're dealing with people who have just been persecuted, and all through church history have not had their nation. Remember when World War II occurred? Not have had their nation. Not have had a place to go. God has abandoned them. You just give up. You just give up and let that go the way it's going to go. So we have the shared suffering, the shared pain, the shared crying. Now, get ready. What we want to do is add to that a hope, a promise from God. See, people, we, the members of the body of Christ, the church, we have no shared promise related to this earth. We have no shared hope that we're given some land, given anything. We're not told we won't die by starvation. We won't die by suffering in some way. We're not told, boy, just that the church is going to get this and the church is going to get that. Even in the millennium, it's all about what Israel gets. Now, we know what we're going to do. We're going to rule with Christ. But it's not like we are given land. We're not going to have any promises that we can hold on in that respect. Our promises are all what? Spiritual. You and I are going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, day in and day out, through adversity, through sufferings, through happinesses, through everything, because we're looking forward to the rapture, the resurrection, and being with Him forever. Ours is all there. Where's theirs? It's right here. But He promised us our land. Other people are on that land. And they did this through the whole Testament. They'd come in, the Babylonians would have taken them over. The Assyrians would come in and invade them. Everybody was always invading and taking over. This has been going on for 4,000 years. And with all of that suffering, they still have this hope. They share a hope. They have an inner hope that drives them in the midst of the pain and the labor and the labor pains, the suffering. Jews all over the world go through the pain of their race wherever they are, in America, in Europe, in South America, in any hemisphere you'll find a Jew. This is going on inside of them in the midst of being, they're not in their promised land. We are proud to be American. Now, I'm not saying a Jew would not be proud to be an American. But just know in your own mind, in their mind, this is not their country. By the way, that's what's caused a lot of anti-Semitism and conservatism. A lot of conservatives start here understanding, well, they're not really for America. They're wanting Israel to be helped. They're sending money to Israel. So we don't want to. Why should we support them making money here and sending it there? So you have a lot of anti-Semitism brewing in what you and I understand as the conservative movement. Very strong anti-Semitism throughout the history of this country. Because but they don't understand the whole biblical concept. They just understand the Jews not really thinking about America. The Jews thinking about over there something. So while they function here, live here, die in our services, military services, raise their children in our school, all of these things, you got to appreciate the fact, whether you know it, whether they even understand it, inside their soul is something else. And they have a promise of it. Nazism, Germany, it's over. But what still drags on in little pockets in Germany, people, we've got to go back to the glory of Nazism. We've got to go back and make Germany a great country, a great race of people. Kill all the other races. What am I talking about? They have this vision and this idea of this great Germany. But do they have any promise from God that Germany's going to be this great country? No. They have no promise from God, from anybody. It's just an idea. But what do the Jews have? They don't just have some dreamed up vision. God has promised them something. God has promised them a land. God has promised them a great prosperity. And look where they are in the world. Even the ones who are making money, people, don't be naive about what's going on in their soul. There's still something going on about all their history. They're not where they've been promised by their God yet. It's because it's very important in understanding a Jew and appreciating what's going on. Now, if a Jew, after the first Christmas, after the child is born of the woman, Israel, and they believe in him as Messiah King, let me give you an idea of what's in their soul. Look at the Gospel of John 16. Gospel of John 16. Let me show you what a Jew can experience right up to this very day. What the nation should have experienced when the birth took place in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. John 16, verse 21. Whenever a woman, so now we're dealing with the analogy, but we're talking about Israel. Whenever a woman is in travail, giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. She has pain, not sorrow in the sense of, oh, I'm sorry about it, but sorrow in the sense of pain. Her hour has come, great pain. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. Why? For joy that a child has been born into the world. See, that can happen to a Jew right up to this very day. They could take 4,000 years of suffering, 2,000 years up to the cross, 2,000 years since, which has been terrible, and all of that inner passed down to where it becomes part of their personality, part of their psychic, without them maybe even knowing it, is all set aside because they see the child. They believe in the child as the Messiah King. So this is what can happen. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor, and in pain gave birth. Now, verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Okay. The two signs are related. This is not just taking two different things unrelated. These are related. They follow in order. Again, what happens on earth is due to what happens in heaven. The battle starts in heaven, and then it comes to the earth. We saw that in Job. What happened to Job? Where did it start? It started in heaven. God and Satan got into a conversation, zeroed in on man, boom, man became the target. Okay, verse 3, and another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, ooh, having 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads, were 7 diadems. Now, people, this is the force that is going to move against this birth. This is the force that has been moving against this birth throughout all history of the Jews. He is described as a great or enormous. That connotes his power. Both his personality and all of his helpers, the angelic and human, and all that will go to work to do what? Prevent the birth of this child. To destroy the pregnant woman before she ever does give birth. And then if he can't do that, then kill the child. Let's look at a few things, not studying it, but just noting the formidable enemy against Christmas. His color is red. Well, Santa Claus wears a red suit. We did that a long time ago. Had a few people react to that. I don't know why, but anyway. Okay, his color is red. Due to his murderous intent to stop this child from being born, to murder the baby, to murder anybody who follows the baby afterward through church history. This is where the wise men come into the story. This is where the wise men encounter Herod. People, there's a lot of turmoil going on up to and Christmas morning. He's called a dragon to convey his fierce, powerful nature. Just think of the dragon. Seven heads. We'll study this a lot more when we come to Revelation 12. Seven heads, symbol of seven world governments coming together. All the power coming together to stop this Christmas morning. The rise of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, Greece, Rome. Rome too, all coming together. Ten horns, ten powerful kings or governments, rulers of the earth. Seven crowns, for right now, seven regions of the empire. All of this working together to stop this birth. Verse 4, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. What's difficult in this, and we'll see when we come to study it, I want to get involved into this passage. It just is going to sweep across a lot of history. This isn't just in right in the order. What you just read didn't take place just before the pregnancy and the birth of pregnancy by Mary and the birth of the child Jesus Christ. This is going to be the whole history of Israel. And his tail swept a third of the stars of heaven. Whoa! And then threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. We were given the previous information to let us know something about this dragon who is standing before the nation of Israel, who is about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And that's the Christmas story from another viewpoint. We don't sing about this. We don't have any nice carols, Christmas carols, about how the baby is about to be devoured. We don't sing about that. And here we are, today we're worried about the Christmas trees and Christmas stores. Well, the first Christmas child had all of this working against him. Okay, principle. Satan, the enormous red dragon, with all of his nations and all the angels and all his nations working together, could not stop this birth. Could not stop this birth. There is no power on this earth that is going to erase him from history. He will be celebrated. He will be praised by those who believe. Sometimes in church history, it's been a very few. In the history of Israel, it got down to one. One! One! How can I be upset about so few coming here? His whole nation, we're down to one. It's whether or not we see the truth or not. But all the forces of the red dragon could not stop this birth. Multitudes today trying hard to undermine him, claim he is not who he claims to be, rejecting Muslims, Hindus, Protestants, false teachers, every way you can just to distort this person, Jesus Christ. Oh, he had other wives and he had other children and he this and he that. Just go on and on and on. There'll always be a thin line of those who will dare to believe it and die for it if they have to. And it's not going to be erased. He will be born, he will live, and he will be crucified, and he will rise again. That's our hope. Look at verse 4. And his tail swept across a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. We are seeing on Tuesday, right now in Revelation, stars as a symbol of the angels. So here we have it. We have no trouble in what we're seeing in the sixth seal in Revelation 6 because we have it right here. Third of the stars, that's the angels in heaven. Third of the earth. So we're studying this right now. Swept away a third of the stars of heaven. One third of the angelic force followed Satan. Not just a few, but one third followed Satan against God. people. There's always going to be those who will follow. Sometimes it'll be a lot, sometimes a few. Following truth, following the lie. Tale of the dragon. Very quickly, let me just comment on the tale of the dragon. It is used to symbolize his rebellion against God. The tale of the dragon is used to symbolize his rebellion against God, his persuasive power. And when someone throws a harness, he rebels. That's why the tail's working. And he takes others with him. Swept away, dragged away, the Hebrew, the Greek word could be. Now, what is described here sets up the formidable force against the first Christmas. What is described here occurred in eternity past. Did not occur at the turn of the from B.C. to A.D. Did not occur just before Mary gave birth to Jesus. This occurred in eternity past. Here's the question. It's a very important question. Why is this mentioned here in the context of the birth? Birth stands over to kill the child. But in between those two statements, we have this. Why is this given to us in a context of Christmas? In a context of the birth of Christ. This again is something that very few teachers, very few Christians recognize. That why Jesus Christ became man, why the first Christmas story is directly related to an ancient battle that preceded all mankind. People, please start appreciating what happened on Christmas morning, God becoming man, born in that manger, is not an isolated event. This goes all the way back to ancient history before man ever came on the scene, when Lucifer, the bright and shining one, walked with the second member of the Godhead in the third heaven, the Garden of Stone. Then one, at some point, Satan rebelled against God, and a third of the angels followed him. A third of the angels followed him there. I believe all the angels fell. I won't get into that right now. We'll look at it when we get there in Revelation 12. But a third refused to follow, go back and follow God. And I think that their choice had to do with the cross. I believe that with all my heart and understanding the Bible as I do. But it's not something anybody has to believe. I'm just sharing with you what I see. That I think the cross affects angels as much as man. And we'll come to that and I'll take you through some things when we get there. Now, that set up, that rebellion, and that a third followed him. People, you've got to ask the question. You've got to ask questions when you study the Bible. Why is this here? Not just, what's the Greek, what's the noun, what's the verb, what's the word studies, and you just go through it. No, we want to, why? Why, of all places, is that mentioned here? What does it have to do with the birth of Christ? Must have something to do with it. Okay. That sweeping away of the third, being cast to the earth, set up the coming on the scene of the history of man. And eventually the need for God to become man. And out of his love, we have the Christmas story. We have the formation of the woman, the pregnancy of the woman. That's the history of Israel. That's the history of Israel. Calling of Abraham, circumcision, the 12 sons, and then we have the tribes, then we go from tribes to family, and it just keeps narrowing down. Just keeps narrowing down. We looked at this the other day, but it's so important to see. It just narrows down. And the whole reading of the Old Testament, as far as Israel is concerned, is we have a race. So we call on the scene a race, and the race is, then it's going to be narrowed from the race to tribes. And that's going to narrow. Then we're going to narrow it even more to families. And that's going to narrow down to the family of David. Jesse and David. And then the birth of the child. So the formation of the woman, the pregnancy, and how this super creature, the red dragon, throughout history, is going to try to do anything he can to kill this woman, to stop the pregnancy, stop the birth, do everything he can as we come closer to the Christmas story. Here's the Christmas story, the birth. This red dragon, all the way back to prehistoric time, has set up the need for the Christmas story, the birth, and he's been fighting it, and that's what we have told to us. That's why it's included here. So this is what is important, is that this rebellion and deception by Satan, all related and involved in the very first Christmas. He's got to stop it. This is what happened. This is the suffering of Israel, the suffering of the Jews, the pain, the labor, the torment, the crying out through all history. Crying out, help, help, relief, relief, give me relief. There's going to be no relief until the child's born. And then there will be no relief for the Jew that rejects the birth of the child. Why is that? Because it's going to be imaginary pregnancy, if you'll pardon that expression. Because what are they doing? They're still looking for this king. See, they've rejected the birth. So they're still looking for the birth of this Messiah king who's going to come in and liberate the world and make Israel the great nation on earth. So they're walking around as though they are pregnant, waiting for this birth, which means they're going to go right through an imaginary, but to them it's real, labor pain, suffering, and all of that when the child has already been born. And they reject it. And so having rejected it, they're still looking for it, they're still suffering. That's why I read the passage in John. If they would accept it right now, all of that goes away. Here it is. Here's what they've been looking for. And the dragon, name of Satan, the antagonist of Jesus Christ, stood. The word here is a military term, means to take his stand strategically with all his forces, before the woman. You just kind of in your mind imagine a force moving against another force, an army moving, taking their stand, ready to devour. They're standing, as it were, up on a hill, and there's the little town, and they're getting ready to come down and devour it. That's the ideal of the Greek word here. Stood before the woman, positioned himself before the woman, in battle before the woman, who was about to give birth. This is Israel, about to give birth to Jesus Christ. This is the grace of God, the love of God. This refers to a time preceding the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, this is before and right up to Christmas morning. This caused a great deal of turmoil, a lot of anguish going on in Israel at the time of Jesus Christ's birth. No silence here, no silent night here. This is unbelievable stuff. Question. Why did the enormous dragon take his stand before Israel at the time of Jesus Christ's birth? You have it told to you. Why did he take a stand? So that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Okay, so here's Christmas morning. This wonderful Christmas morning, and what is this dragon doing? This dragon is standing, as it were, over this. He's watching, and he's ready to kill. So that he might devour her child. Now, let's do something we've been doing. We've been studying the book of Job. In chapter 3, I want to remind you, Job is cursing the fact that in his mind, he was born to suffer. So in that part, we just take the analogy of Israel. And I want you to summarize what we've studied in all of chapter 3. He goes through an interesting waves of thought, stages of thought. First stage, he wishes he had never been conceived. And it never happened. Okay, that happened. Then, since he was born, then he did not die at birth. And remember those verses are very specific. Okay, he was born. That had to happen. Then he wishes that he had died at birth. But since he was born, and since he did not die at birth, he now cries out the question, why was life given to him? If his life is to be a life of suffering, Why does God see something good in a whole life of suffering? This is the question that many Jews are asking inwardly, outwardly, consciously, subconsciously. What are we here for? 4,000 years, 2,000 years, whatever degree they understand their history, whatever degree they appreciate it, it just has no meaning here. Why are we supposed to be these people and suffer like this? Now, look at the dragon standing over the woman, Israel. And the woman is Israel here. And we want to see this as Mary now. We're very close to the birth. Okay. First, the dragon tried to prevent Jesus Christ from even being born. He tried to prevent that from happening. All the way back to the formation of the race, the tribe, the family. As to the race, he wanted Egypt to destroy them. That didn't happen. As to the tribe, tribes to destroy it. He tried to destroy it from the time of Judah. As to the family, we have so many reports of trying to kill his family. We're in the line of David. Once this history comes down into the family, we're down here. We're down to one descendant of David. You know that? Down to one. One male child. Do you know why he's not killed? Because when Jezebel and her daughter, Athaliah, tricked the kings and murdered the babies, they murdered all the line of David except one child, and the reason they didn't murder her, this child, he was a bastard. He was born out in the woods to a mistress. And she didn't know about that one. And so she didn't murder it. So this has been going on. Now, secondly, once the woman was pregnant with child, what did Satan try to do? He tried to have Mary put away. If you remember the story. And what did he use to try to kill Mary? You remember? What did he use? What was the foundation of Joseph murdering her, killing her? So what did he use? The law! He used the law to destroy, to try to have the law destroy her. By law. Satan uses the law to destroy. This is what he's doing in America today. And don't become angry. As I say, I prefer, if you want to do it, let's weep for America, but don't become angry. We understand what's happening. As America moves from more and more into the dark by our legal systems, you're just going to see more and more and more of this. And we just weep for America and what's happening, but not angry. So he uses the law. And so he will attempt to murder the child so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Okay, this is where I want to look at something. How did he do that? We're going to take a look at one passage, just one, that deals with this tomorrow night and then finish up this study and get ready for our study on the new challenge for 06 on Saturday night and Sunday morning. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Father, we thank you so much for this study. There's so many ways, Father, your Spirit can take us into a passage and they just come alive in different ways. And this Christmas, your Spirit has led us to a study on the birth of Christ that's not normally studied. It's not filled with beautiful slogans and sayings of angelic heralds, wise men bringing gifts. It's the other side. It's the invisible side. The dragon trying to kill and prevent this. Father, we praise you for the God you are. And it gives to us a unbelievable comfort and hope, confidence in our being, that no matter what Satan plans, it's not going to work. And it's going to work only up to the degree that you allow it. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.